continue on in the Advent series this year, thinking and talking about the miraculous births that are in our scriptures. You know, we've seen how God used miracle stories of those who could not have children, miraculously by the act of God, have families and dedicating them. We saw it in Samson. We saw it in Samuel. Today, we turn to John the Baptist, who was the cousin of Jesus, born just a few months before. As we heard the scripture reading from Luke chapter 1, we have some names that come to place, and it's always a little bit confusing. You know, you always wonder about how did the Hebrew names come together? You know, how many Zacharias were there in the Bible? Let me just say this morning, if I use a lot of names that start with Z, it wasn't on purpose. I didn't do it purposely. It's just the way it occurred today. Now, Zachariah was actually a very common name, like Bob or John or Steve or Jeff in our day. Zachariah was very common. 18,000 priests, did you know that? Very interesting. We're serving Levitical priests. The priests, remember, from the Old Testament, as we think about that, when they were given their blessing of land, the Levites did not get land. Remember, they were placed in all the different slight counties in Israel, but the 12 tribes were split up, yet the Levites received the calling of God, and they were placed so that the people of God didn't have to wander too far to find a place to worship. So tabernacles were placed. But the place in Jerusalem where Zechariah had this experience that we heard this morning is a place that was such a surprise for him. You know, he and his wife Elizabeth, who was the cousin of Mary, as you've come to understand the story, or maybe it might be the first time for you to think about that. It is always amazing to hear these stories, how Mary and Elizabeth were very close and trusting in the promise. But I want to suggest this morning a couple of things as we dig into this scripture. It's sort of like I've noticed that we see that this. Have you ever watched this? Most of you have seen it, right? So I'm not talking about out of this. You've seen It's a Wonderful Life and the wonderful story, you know, with Jimmy Stewart. In fact, they still show it on the networks. I'll throw it on there and people will watch. And we know the story that comes with it. And thinking about how George Bailey there is struggling at Christmas Eve in 1945 at Bedford Falls. You remember the story, right? The connection and the fact that he was at that place where he was overwhelmed, even we would say suicidal, there on the bridge. You remember that part of the story? And then he prayed that prayer. You remember, he said, "Dear Father in heaven," and I'm taking it right out of the context. I'm not praying, man, so he's being honest. God loves honesty in prayer, just by the way, right? But if you're up there and you can hear me, and notice the words that is used, and I think it's interesting. Show me the way. Show me the way. The prophets of old all had to trust in God, and that really is the context for the message this morning is, how do we trust? George Bailey was trusting. You know, he had trusted his uncle. Remember, it was Uncle Billy that had goofed by putting the money, the $8,000, if you kind of put it in today's money. That would like been $100,000. Can you imagine losing that? And of course, Mr. Potter, the evil Mr. Potter, now I'm recollecting your memories now. He was the one that was in his newspaper and he wasn't going to give it back. So we remember that part of the story of thinking of how impossible this would be. And then It's a Wonderful Life because George Bailey realized, what is it that makes a wonderful life? Family, friends, trust. We'll look a little deeper. Trust is all about waiting. 400 years or more is how silent God was. That's hard for us to get around, 400 years. I don't really understand that. The last prophetic prophecy that we have in the Old Testament that points to Jesus comes from Malachi. John would come. There would be one who would come. Remember the words? To prepare the way 480 years, if you really want to do the math as we understand it today. Amazing. They were waiting. And here they lived in a country. Elizabeth, Zechariah were living in a different place as we've come to understand the story in Luke chapter 1. And they were trusting in God, yet they were reminded as they walked around their towns that they were an occupied country. It was Rome. Rome was there with their soldiers providing protection, right? Right, you all get what I'm saying? That really wasn't protection. Rome was protecting the taxes they were extracting from the people, right? That was why Rome was there, to extract and take what they could. So I want you to think about how surprised then one would be. Zechariah was at an older age. He and Elizabeth were at an older age. They probably were watching their contemporaries have grandchildren, and she was probably not thinking that she would have a child because they had not been blessed at that point. But then we see the story unfold. The Lord will remove his hand of judgment, Zephaniah. Now, this is, let me just walk you back for a moment to give you a context. Did you know there is a Zechariah as a prophet? I'm not going to be using that today. So when you see the word Zechariah, that's not the prophet, okay? He was the priest there who was married to Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, all right? So we'll just keep it clear. Zephaniah is a prophet of the 12 minor prophets we have, and this is his prophecy. For the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the armies of your enemy. He goes on to say, and the Lord himself, the king of Israel, will live among you. Here's the promise. You're waiting for the king to be living among you. At last, your troubles will be over, and you will never fear disaster again. Again, we go back to George Bailey. He was fearing disaster. He didn't have the money to pay. Remember the story? He didn't have it. How wonderful a life is this? Didn't have it, but how will we find a way? How did we find a way? How do we trust? Zechariah was thinking he hadn't been blessed, but all of a sudden, circumstances changed. I saw a story this week about a principal who was absolutely very creative. The bus that the children in his school were on their way, and it got stuck in a snowstorm. Not unusual if you lived in snow country, right? But the students were stuck there. They were going to be stuck for over 5 hours. They had plenty of fuel in the bus to keep the kids warm. But the kids were under 8 years old. So that's a young group, right? So the principal got creative. He had gotten word from one of the mothers that one of the children had a phone. Of course, all the kids have technology today for safety and other reasons, right? And so what did he do? He FaceTimed him, the child. And what did he do? He started reading. I don't know if you can see the picture. He started reading to them. He did a 4.5-hour reading. They had brought books in from the library, and he read to the kids while the kids were on the bus, reading out of their hand, waiting for the traffic to disperse and for the opportunity. That's creativity. Now, I sometimes bemoan technology. You've heard me do that too many times already, I know. But here's a principal who took the bull by the horns and said, I'm going to use it for our advantage. Here, wait. As we're waiting, hear the stories. The kids were calmed, and as the story we find out later, they were able to be dropped off, and everyone was safe. Trust is all about waiting, and when we wait, we need to listen to the story. Because the stories of God's Word is really about people who were waiting on God, waiting for God to answer that prayer that was offered, a prayer that was offered rightly, but yet it's hard. So trust is all about waiting. But we live with the one-minute guarantee. I was reminded of that this week as I was thinking about this. You see that timer there. But McDonald's has made a fortune, right? On the one-minute guarantee. If you get in line at their drive-through in 1 minute, you'll get served. I'm not sure it always works out that way, because every time I've ever been in a drive-through line is never 1 minute, okay? But that's my experience, maybe not yours. But the point here is this. We live in a drive-through world where we're waiting, but our waiting is measured by tinier and tinier response times. Have you noticed that? We've almost made a McGod out of it, if you forgive me for doing that. But say, if God, if you don't answer this prayer in less than a minute, then you haven't, you don't have the power to answer it. But what is God saying to us? As we've lit the candles this morning of peace and of hope and today of joy, what brings joy to us? Waiting isn't one of the things that brings joy. It's like, I don't want to wait. But God said, trust me. Trust the promise. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. We read that earlier. Thank you so much, Alice, for reading that to us for today. And then, as was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and to burn incense. Fact of the matter is, out of the 18,000 priests, they would go into the Holy of Holies where the ark was. They would do, they had a certain protocol that they would follow. And not all the priests got to do that. It was just like a happenstance that he got the lot. That's what they said. That was how the translation gives us that information this morning. He wins the lottery, the highlight of his career, picked by a lot out of the 18,000 priests. And here comes the rest of the story, which is there's going to be an angel involved. Now, angel stories are always interesting because most of us probably haven't seen an angel, right? I remember a story of a friend of mine who was sitting in the car next to me, who is absolutely convinced to this day, and it will not change his mind, that there was an angel holding up the car that I was driving as we were on a road going down into Yosemite. It was my grandfather's car, so it was a really heavy old sedan, 1965 Dodge. You get the picture, right? For some of you that understand those things. Heavy car coming down, and I hit black ice. It did a 180. And he's absolutely convinced this day. Now, he has a little Catholic background, so he understands guardian angels, okay? So I get it. He said, there was an angel there, Bob. I never saw it. He did, holding the car up. I'm not going to deny the fact that there was an angel there holding it up. I'm grateful that there was an angel holding up the car, right? Car was damaged, but nobody else in the car was. That's God's provision, isn't it? God provides. God always provides for us. As we see this text, the Spirit of God is always present. And we see that in the context of the verses that we read today, of the future of John the Baptist coming into the world. The Spirit is always present. In fact, the Spirit, what was promised? We go back to Zephaniah here, for that is the reading for the context for today. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. That was the promise to wait for that. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. That's the promise. Joy, which is why the Zephaniah passage is here for us today, is a part of the message of saying the Spirit will give joy to you. Joy, because it reminds us that the Spirit is present. Why is the Spirit present? Because God has a plan. Now, in the Old Testament, you've heard me kind of discuss this before, and I'll just remind you once again, the Holy Spirit worked differently in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it came up from mostly prophet, priests, and kings, and those that God had ordained for that. Not every person could have that. Only if they went to the temple or to the tabernacle and offered their sacrifices to the Lord did they experience God at that moment. But God used certain people. But in the New Testament, Joel reminds us, Joel 2:28, if you want to be exact, you go back to the text and read it. He said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I will change the way. In the New Covenant, the New Testament understanding of God's Spirit is always present with us. God's Spirit comes and lands on us and never leaves. The angel said to Zechariah, don't be afraid. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, the angel always says that? Don't be afraid. So here's my message to you today. Don't be afraid of angels. Just embrace it. If you got them, you're better off. They're there for you. You won't even know. The scriptures tell us that you will not know that you've entertained an angel. In fact, the book of Hebrews talks about that. You have no idea. that God provided for you that way. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. Actually, I think he wanted to name him Zechariah. They had names picked out when they had heard, oh, this is great, and you want to name him after yourself. We'll have the blessing of God. But he knew, this was the calling. The angel said, you know, it's like these ancient pictures that we have remind us of the angelic stories. Zechariah was overwhelmed, no doubt. He was so overwhelmed that the story goes, I don't have time to read the rest of the text, but you might remember that he was so overwhelmed, there was a bit of God trying to teach a lesson, and what would he do to a priest that a priest would notice? He took what? His voice. He lost his voice. That was God's discipline saying, trust me, now you can't talk about it. You just have to live it, because he wasn't sure that was the angel. Zechariah was to trust God. He could write. That was one of the things that the Levitical priesthood provided for the people, was a learned group that could help people with educational purposes. And Zechariah lost his voice, and he didn't get his voice back until baby John was brought into the world, and then his voice came back. So we know that part of the story, and we will read that in just a moment, his response to God for gratefulness. Verse 14 says, you'll have what? Great joy. And gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. John will be used. This is John the Baptist, the story of how John would prepare the way. Malachi, the very last prophet in our Old Testament, tells that part of the story. He will prepare the way. He will point. He will point the way, and it will be great joy, and the Spirit will be on him. And he will be filled with what? That's what the text tells us, verse 15. He will be filled with the Spirit even before his birth. It was another miraculous birth here that God is providing, because the Spirit is at work. How is the Spirit working? We sometimes have to discover it. We have to find it. For it is the power to change hearts. John preached repentance. Remember the story of John, how he would come in the heritage of Elijah? We're going to see that in a moment. But he would have the power. God would give him the Spirit and the power to change hearts. I love that word, which is we find in the New Testament, metanoia, which is the Greek word metanoia, which means to make the turn, to actually just make a U-turn all the way around. Just say, you need to change your life. And that's what John preached. And it was Jesus who came to John and said, I'm coming to you to be baptized by you. I remember the very first text that I got to memorize in the Greek text was that passage where John said, I will not. It was amazing. It's amazing power and understanding. I can't even touch the shoe of who you are. John knew exactly who Jesus was to become. Not everyone knew that, but he had the power that God had given him through the Holy Spirit. We saw the context of verse 15, and we see it move on. And he will be a man with spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare for the coming of the Lord. He would prepare for that. And if you remember the story, he didn't want to baptize Jesus. Remember that? He didn't want to baptize Jesus, but he said, no, I want to use you. Let me suggest to you this morning that as we think about living in a world that doesn't really understand waiting, I'm living in that same world with you, we need to pause and help point the way. Point the way with hearts full of joy, saying this is a season to be joyful, not because of all the material things that distract us, but because the true joy of the season is saying Jesus came and there was one who pointed the way. His name was John. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. That's what the text tells us. The season of Advent is a season of waiting. Waiting and saying, what is God up to? What is that work that he is doing? And we think about how at the end of the context, we see that joy brings us here. The joy that is experienced, and if you have your Bible, I'm going to read the context. You can just open it to Luke chapter 1. Zechariah is overwhelmed as he sees God working. And this is the context of his prophecy. As John is going to be coming into the world, the Holy Spirit gives Zechariah this prophecy. The text tells us in verse 67 of chapter 1 of Luke. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you notice how many times it talked about the Holy Spirit in this passage? God's Spirit. And gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior. Do you see the application of the Old Testament prophecy here from Zephaniah? Right here. From the royal line of his servant David. That's why we talk about Bethlehem. That's the home of David's lineage. He had to go to David's, his hometown. Jesus did. That's where he would be born. From the royal line of David's servant David, just as he promised to his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with oath to our ancestor Abraham. We've been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. This is a great, powerful message that reminds us of the joy of our salvation, the joy of knowing that God has richly blessed us. And at the very end of chapter 1, before we read, in fact, we'll read it tonight, Luke chapter 2, the choir will be presenting their whole musical presentation built around Luke chapter 2. John the Baptist grew up and became strong in spirit. Strong. I think we have time to do it. Maybe we can play that video. I want you to just see the Advent video. You may not have been here last week. I want you to see it again. Look for the images of God in the lights of the candles this morning. Go ahead and play that. We'll come back to the closing. Rejoice. That's the theme. Rejoice. Rejoice. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It was John's strength. At the end of life, when we get to that point, what do families come together to remember? What do we really love? Do we love that which God has given us in sending his Son into the world? Peace, hope, joy. Love. All of those are what God has given us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let it be yours in this season of Advent. God of grace and God of mercy, thank you so much for your gift of joy. That which we celebrate on this third Sunday in Advent as we prepare for this incredible season that you remind us of the birth of the Savior, the one who was promised to come into the world to change everything about how your Spirit would be with us forever, giving us the power to change hearts, your Spirit changing our hearts and the hearts of those that we know and love. So, Lord, as we trust in your promise that you will give us what we need at the moment that we need it. We just rely on you this day. And we thank you for your Spirit and for the way in which you give us joy, a joy that is our strength to live each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. We give you glory, honor, and praise for the way you change us inside out. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.